It was lovely summer weather in the country, and the golden corn, the green oats, and the haystacks piled up in the meadows looked beautiful. The stork walking about on his long red legs chattered in the Egyptian language which he had learned from his mother. The cornfields and the meadows were surrounded by large forests, in the midst of which were deep pools. It was indeed delightful to walk about in the country. In a sunny spot stood a pleasant old farmhouse close by a deep river, and from the house down to the waterside grew great burdock leaves, so high that under the tallest of them, a little child could stand upright. The spot was as wild as the center of a thick wood. In this snug retreat sat a duck on her nest, watching for her young brood to hatch. She was beginning to get tired of her task, for the little ones were a long time coming out of their shells, and she seldom had any visitors. The other ducks liked much better to swim about in the river than to climb the slippery banks and sit under a burdock leaf to have a gossip with her. At length, one shell cracked, and then another, and from each egg came a living creature that lifted its head and cried, "Peep, peep." "Quack, quack," said the mother, and then they all quacked as well as they could and looked about them on every side at the great, large, green leaves. Their mother allowed them to look as much as they liked, because green is good for the eyes. "How large the world is," said the young ducks, when they found out how much more room they had now than while they were inside the eggshell. "Do you imagine this is the whole world?" asked Mother. "Wait till you have seen the garden. It stretches far beyond that to the parson's field, but I have never ventured to such a distance." "Are you all out?" she continued, rising. "No, I declare, the largest egg lies there still. I wonder how long this is to last. I am quite tired of it." She seated herself again on the nest. "Well, how are you getting on?" asked an old duck who paid her a visit. "One egg is not hatched yet," said the duck. "It will not break. But just look at all the others. Are they not the prettiest little ducklings you ever saw? They are the image of their father, who is so unkind he never comes to see." "Let me see the egg that will not break," said the duck. "I have no doubt it is a turkey's egg. I was persuaded to hatch some once, and after all my care and trouble with the young ones, they were afraid of the water. I quacked and clucked, but all to no purpose. I could not get them to venture in. Let me look at the egg. Yes, that is a turkey's egg. Take my advice, leave it where it is, and teach the other children to swim." "I think I will sit on it a little while longer," said the duck, "as I have sat so long already. A few days will be nothing." "Please yourself," said the old duck, and she went away. At last, the large egg broke, and a young one crept forth crying, "Peep, peep." It was a very large and ugly duckling. The duck stared at it and exclaimed, "It is very large and not at all like the others. I wonder if it really is a turkey. We shall soon find it out, however, when we go into the water. It must go in, if I have to push it in myself." On the next day, the weather was delightful, and the sun shone brightly on the green burdock leaves, so the mother duck took her young brood down to the water and jumped in with a splash. "Quack, quack," she cried. And one after the other, the little ducklings jumped in. The water closed over their heads, but they came up again in an instant and swam about quite prettily with their little legs paddling under them as easily as possible. And the ugly duckling was also in the water swimming with them. "Oh," said the mother, "that is not a turkey. How well he uses his legs, and how upright he holds himself. He is my own child, and he is not so very ugly after all, if you look at him properly. Quack, quack, come with me now. I will take you into grand society and introduce you to the farmyard. But you must keep close to me, or you may be trodden upon. And above all, beware of the cat." When they reached the farmyard, there was a great disturbance. Two families were fighting for an eel's head, which, after all, was carried off by the cat. "See, children, that is the way of the world," said the mother duck, wetting her beak, for she would have liked the eel's head for herself. "Come now, use your legs, and let me see how well you can behave. You must bow your heads prettily to that old duck yonder. She is the highest born of them all, and has Spanish blood. Therefore, she is well off. Don't you see she has a red flag tied to her leg, which is something very grand, and a great honor for a duck. It shows that everyone is anxious not to lose her, as she can be recognized by both man and beast. Come now, don't turn your toes. A well-bred duckling spreads his feet wide apart, just like his father and mother, in this way. Now bend your neck and say quack." The ducklings did as they were bid, but the other ducks stared and said, "Look, here comes another brood, as if there weren't enough of us already. And what a queer-looking object one of them is. We don't want him here." And then one flew out and bit him in the neck. "Let him alone," said the mother. "He is not doing any harm." "Yes, but he is so big and ugly," said the spiteful duck, "and therefore he must be turned out." "The others are very pretty children," said the old duck, with the rag on her leg. "All but that one. I wish his mother could improve him a little." "That is impossible, Your Grace," replied the mother. "He is not pretty, but he has a very good disposition, and swims as well or even better than the others. I think he will grow up pretty and perhaps be smaller. He has remained too long in the egg, and therefore his figure is not properly formed." And then she stroked his neck and smoothed his feathers, saying, "It is a drake, and therefore not of so much consequence. I think he will grow up strong and able to take care of himself." "The other ducklings are graceful enough," said the old duck. "Now make yourself at home, and if you can find an eel's head, you can bring it to me." And so they made themselves comfortable, but the poor duckling, who had crept out of his shell last of all and looked so ugly, was bitten and pushed and made fun of, not only by the ducks, but by all the poultry. "He is too big," they all said. And the turkey cock, who had been born into the world of spurs and fancied himself really an emperor, puffed himself up like a vessel in full sail and flew at the duckling and became quite red in the head with passion, so that the poor thing did not know where to go and was quite miserable because he was so ugly and laughed at by the whole farmyard. So it went on from day to day till it got worse and worse. The poor duckling was driven out by everyone. Even his brothers and sisters were unkind to him, and they would say, "Ah, you ugly creature, I wish the cat would get you." And his mother said she wished he had never been born. The ducks pecked at him, the chickens beat him, and the girl who fed the poultry kicked him with her feet So, at last, he ran away, frightening the little birds in the hedge as he flew over the palings. "They are afraid of me because I am ugly," he said. So he closed his eyes and flew still farther until he came out on a large moor inhabited by wild ducks. Here he remained the whole night, feeling very tired and sorrowful. In the morning, when the wild ducks rose in the air, they stared at their new comrade. "What sort of duck are you?" they all said, coming round him. He bowed to them and was polite as he could be, but he did not reply to their question. "You are exceedingly ugly," said the wild ducks, "but that will not matter if you do not want to marry one of our family." Poor thing! He had no thoughts of marriage. All he wanted was permission to lie among the rushes and drink some of the water on the moor. After he had been on the moor 2 days, there came 2 wild geese, or rather goslings, for they had not been out of the egg long, and they were very saucy. "Listen, friend," said one of them to the duckling, "you are so ugly that we like you very well. Will you go with us and become the bird of passage? Not far from here is another moor, in which there are some pretty wild geese, all unmarried. It is a chance for you to get a wife. Maybe you'll get lucky, ugly as you are." Pop, pop, sounded in the air, and the 2 wild geese fell dead among the rushes, and the water was tinged with blood. Pop, pop, echoed far and wide in the distance, and whole flocks of wild geese rose up from the rushes. The sound continued from every direction, for the sportsmen surrounded the moor, and some were even seated on branches of trees overlooking the rushes. The blue smoke from the guns rose like clouds over the dark trees, and as it floated away across the water, a number of sporting dogs bounded in among the rushes, which bent beneath them wherever they went. How they terrified the poor duckling! He turned away his head to hide it under his wing, and at the same moment, a large, terrible dog passed quite near him. His jaws were open, his tongue hung from his mouth, and his eyes glared fearfully. He thrust his nose close to the duckling, showing his sharp teeth, and then, splash, splash, he went into the water without touching him. "Oh," sighed the duckling, "how thankful I am for being so ugly. Even a dog will not bite me." And so he lay quite still, while the shot rattled through the rushes and gun after gun was fired over him. It was late in the day before all became quiet, but even then the poor young thing did not dare to move. He waited quietly for several hours and then, after looking carefully around him, hastened away from the moor as fast as he could. He ran over field and meadow till a storm arose, and he could hardly struggle against it. Towards evening, he reached a poor little cottage that seemed ready to fall, and only remained standing because it could not decide on which side to fall first. The storm continued so violent that the duckling could go no further. He sat down by the cottage, and then he noticed that the door was not quite closed in consequence of one of the hinges having given way. There was therefore a narrow opening near the bottom, large enough for him to slip through, which he did very quietly and got a shelter for the night. A woman, a tomcat, and a hen lived in this cottage. The tomcat, whom the mistress called my little son, was a great favorite. He could raise his back and purr, and could even throw out sparks from his fur if it were stroked the wrong way. The hen had very short legs, so she was called Chicky Shortlegs. She laid good eggs, and her mistress loved her as if she had been her own child. In the morning, the strange visitor was discovered, and the tomcat began to purr and the hen to cluck. "What is that noise about?" said the old woman, looking around the room, but her sight was not very good. Therefore, when she saw the duckling, she thought it must have been a fat duck that had strayed from home. "Oh, what a prize!" she exclaimed. "I hope it isn't a drake, for then I shall have some duck eggs. I must wait and see." So the duckling was allowed to remain on trial for 3 weeks.